You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Yo, this is Justin Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
By the way, Morgan Freed, one of the three founders of Emo Night. Say hello to Babs. Say hello to TJ. Say hello to Dan Zolot.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Dan.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys. Girls.
And hello to you, beautiful human. Emo Night is here.
Woo!
Is that the right way to introduce you, three?
Sure. Yeah.
Is that weird to be, like, that is a group, right? It is, you are Emo Night.
It's just one thing.
You're a tombstone.
Yeah, Emo Night is here. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think that's the way to do it.
I mean, you're deeper than that. You're more versatile. You have a lot going on. But on the Coachella poster, it says Emo Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is what a weird
like
thing.
What?
Outside of it being a tour, what is the three of you as a collective?
It's a weird thing. We don't really know what it is because we don't make music.
Yeah.
We don't really know how to DJ. we don't play any instruments. We just kind of like create experiences for people. And that's pretty much it. I don't really know how to define it to people.
How do your parents see what you do?
They don't know what this is. They're like, oh, Morgan and his friends are like on stage doing stuff, and there's a bunch of people, and they like that. They like the fact that we have like a community and we get to travel and like do things that we like to do. I don't know if they're really trying to understand it as much as they are like, this is my son doing something that he likes and is cool and we're proud of
him. But like something that is hella successful, that has clearly reached new heights.
Yeah.
I mean, this is bigger than you ever thought. It started as a one night only thing that's now gone on to be a nationwide tour, 5 years plus, in Coachella.
Yeah,
Zach Sang DJ'd it. The pinnacle.
The highlight of my year.
It's all f***ing downhill from here, dude.
For me. For you.
Yeah, for us. That was it. Stop. We're done.
No. I mean, by the way.
Did you have fun?
I didn't know what to expect, and I was very nervous, and to a point where like I didn't even know if I wanted to really do it because I wanted to do it justice. And you've had so many incredible human beings get up on that stage and play the songs that helped define them as people, and to see the video that has emerged from Emo Night, literally for the 5 years leading up to my moment. I mean, you probably started really documenting it, like not from day one, right? Probably like 4.5 years in.
Not from day one. Well.
I think probably from like month three.
Yeah.
When we first moved to the Echoplex, we started at the Short Stop, which is this little bar in Echo Park, brought an iPad, plugged it into the aux cable, and picked songs off of Spotify.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of did that again the next month, and more people showed up, and we were like, it's kind of too many people for this space. So we moved down the street to the Echoplex, and that's when we were like, something's happening. So we started filming it.
See, like, I remember seeing those videos and hearing about this thing going on, because we've been in LA now for the last 5 years, and I just remember seeing all of these videos and these pictures emerging on Twitter. So you've had incredible human beings. So the idea that I would even be asked to be a part of that on such a huge anniversary for you guys was a big deal, and I don't want to that up. So there was a lot of pressure going on in my head of like, can I even handle this? Because the truth is, you've had amazing people. You've had pioneers in the actual genre to like some of the most famous fans of the genre.
Sure.
Like, for me, you coming to DJ was way more exciting than anyone else that night.
Are you serious?
Travis Barker performed.
She's dead. She's serious.
I can't explain to you guys how much I love this show.
I can't.
It's all I watch. Like, I go home when like the new episodes come out, and I'm like, no plans tonight. I'm gonna go watch it.
This is for real.
I was freaking out all day. I'm like, I'm gonna meet Zach.
Means a lot, and I'm starting to sweat, and I need to, by the way, I'm wearing a shirt of my favorite venue in all of the country.
Hell yeah.
Stone Pony in New Jersey. Asbury Park. And you guys have a stop. Asbury Park, I believe, ends your tour. No, like some exotic place ends your tour. Cancun or...
We're in the Bahamas.
Bahamas ends your tour.
Well, we're taking a cruise ship with Coheed and Cambria.
Oh,
from
sick.
Miami to the Bahamas. Yeah. And we're throwing the parties every night on the ship.
So, yeah. You ever been on a cruise ship?
I've never been on a cruise, no.
It's
Have you ever
so
been
fun.
On a cruise ship?
Yeah, it's amazing.
We did the Warped Tour cruise a couple of years ago, and we threw the parties every night on that cruise, and it was amazing. It was like the best 4 days of our lives.
I haven't had fun since.
We haven't had a day of fun since we got off that f***ing boat.
Yeah.
Everything has been bad since then. Mm-hmm.
What does Warped Tour mean to you guys individually?
I mean, to me, it means a lot. I grew up going to Warped Tour. You know, I went every summer when I was a teenager. And so the fact that now Kevin Lyman is a mentor to us and is really invested in what we do and always gives us advice is completely surreal to me, you know, because that defined who I am now.
What do you think he sees in Emo Night?
I think he sees like what he built is a community. Also, you know, so at the end of the day, it can be, you know, he did shows, he did this cruise, he's done so much work for nonprofits, but at the end of the day, he's built a community that changed so many people's lives. And that's exactly what we've done. And even though it's very different, a lot of things align in how we see the music industry and how we see, you know, the meaning of people within the music industry.
Totally.
So... You know, I think, I don't know, it's crazy because when he announced that Warped Tour was ending, he was like, he tweeted something like, Emo Night's gonna take over. And we were like, what the f*** are we? And then everybody was like, oh, there's some grand plan for Emo Night to kind of like take over that space. And we're just like, no, we're not gonna do like a whole summer tour.
Just texted each other and we're like, hey, did one of you guys say that we were gonna do this? I can remember saying that.
Do you feel like today there is a void in our universe for something like Warped Tour?
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, last summer we saw a couple of summer tours pop up and try and fill the spot. And for a minute we were thinking about trying to do that ourselves, you know, just because Kevin like kind of put that out in the universe. We're like, I guess we're supposed to do that. Like, I guess that's like our cross to bear, like our torch to carry. But then, you know, we actually had some more conversations with him and his team, and they were like, you know what, actually, you guys do something really cool and unique right now, and you should, you know, own that. Like, own rock music in a nightclub setting, and what you have is super unique. Don't try to be Warped Tour. Like, keep doing what you're doing.
Because it's different in what you're doing and in the type of business you're running between, like, throwing a concert tour and throwing a party tour, right? Like, two different businesses to dabble.
Yeah, it's so different. Because we've done two festivals called Emo Night Day as well. And that sounds really...
I remember when somebody invited me to that. They're like, do you want to go to Emo Night Day? And I'm like, what?
I'll be the first one to admit that we are geniuses. That is so smart.
Revolutionaries.
Dude, we were going to have an after party called Emo Night Day Night. And then we just decided that we didn't... You know.
We have to draw the line somewhere.
And then we could have one in the day, Emo Night, Day Night Day, you know?
Day Night Day.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. afters, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But.
The future is bright.
Dude.
Yeah.
I just wanted Emo Night, like, breakfast and all that, but.
I mean, is there, and I want to, like, get into, like, where you see the brand going, but back to the difference between concerts and parties. You right now do a unique hybrid that I feel like nobody else has really tapped into. Because on the night where you thought I was the highlight, which
I'm still so shocked by that.
I want to know what you're smoking because pass me
for real.
I wish I could smoke.
Like, I mean, Travis Barker did a set. I'm pretty sure like Goody performed. Like, it was wild.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a full-fledged concert.
Did you
DJ
go upstairs
set.
When Hawthorne Heights and Travie McCoy did their song together? Because that was
wild,
epic. That was epic.
Yeah, I think.
But
once
still,
we...
you were the highlight.
Yeah, you were. It was really just Zach Sang featuring Emo Night.
Yeah.
No, that's what we've been trying to do since we started it. Since like once we, you know, figured out we're like, oh shit, we can play songs that we like and also make an experience. You know, we didn't know exactly what Emo Night was going to look like. And once we figured out that we can curate like every second of it, we can have live bands and DJs and activation and all of these cool things. Like we can do all this stuff because it was like something that hadn't been done before. So it was like there were really no rules, and which is hard because, you know, we had to try a bunch of and fail a bunch of times to like get it right. And now everywhere you look, everything that you do at Emo Night, in the line to Emo Night, after Emo Night, should be like curated, you know, the totally. Way. So it's was different. It's just been a different way.
At the core of what we do and like why we started doing it was to throw a party that we would want to go to and like an event that we wanted to be at. And so many of the events that I went to, what, the first few years when I lived in LA, it was so much about like being the cool guy and like, you know, having like VIP access or, you know, knowing a certain person to like get backstage or some shit like that. And, you know, you get there and it's really not that fun.
No, it's
like
terrible.
You stand there with your arms crossed and you're like socially awkward and looking around for like who to talk to and who's important in the room. And like, we wanted to do the exact opposite of that. You know, we wanted to play the music that we liked. We wanted to have no place that you felt like you couldn't go. Like anybody can come up on stage at Emo Night. You can be right there.
It's amazing.
With Zach saying, you know, screaming along to Coheed and Cambria. And that's like, I think what we've tried to keep throughout the past 5 years and moving forward is just making an event and an experience that we would want to go to ourselves.
Zach Sang Show.
Yo, hold on real quick. If you're like me and you got stuff, lots of stuff you no longer use, or maybe you never use, stuff that doesn't spark joy in your life, now's that time to get rid of it. Get it out of your house and make some money on it. Use Mercari to sell it. I'm trying to sell my Xbox on it. It's 2020, so I'm trying to get rid of the things I don't use and put some money in my pocket. Use Mercari. It really is the best-selling app out there. I'm telling you, you can do anything, sell anything, well, almost anything, fast and easy. You take a few pics, you write a description, you post it, and boom, your item's connected to millions of people out there who are looking to buy. Mercari is even going to email you a shipping label when your product sells, so it makes everything super freaking easy. No awkward meetups with strangers, too, which is why I love it. The app currently has over 500,000 reviews. The average rating is 4.8 stars. So why not give it a try? Ring the new year with less stuff in your home and more money in your pocket with Mercari. That is Mercari, the selling app.
Zach Sang Show.
And by the way, I felt that. From the second I got out of the car in front of the Echoplex to the second I left, it was an experience that I wish could happen way more often. And the truth is, I haven't gone out since then. And the other truth is, I probably didn't go out for like 6 weeks leading up to it. And one of the reasons why I was a little nervous was because, like, one, 5 year anniversary, but two, like, I didn't know. When you think of an LA party, you think of exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Hoity toity elitist. Hiding behind bouncers with, you know, special either laminates or fucking codes to get in. And it's like, I was nervous, but you were the opposite of that. And it was the most beautiful, accepting, loving, and fun place to be. It was the best way to spend a Friday night. And I would love to spend any night of the week with that group of people at any time.
You know, we did it on Tuesdays for the first, like, 4.5 years.
And how does that, like... Do you get backlash when you move from a Tuesday to another day of the week?
Because there's always going to be backlash when you make changes. I don't know. You see it across the board. Like, no matter what we do, there's going to be critics.
Well, because they all feel like family and they can probably feel comfortable to speak up the same way they feel comfortable to do whatever they want to do in the the venue.
Yeah.
Like, and also, like, people who love Emo Night go every month. And so they take work off 6 months in advance. So, like, when it was on Tuesday, they would take Wednesday off. And then we switched it. And they were like, I have the rest of the year's Wednesday off.
You know?
Or, like, we even have, you know, we have Captain Cuts DJ every, like, the last hour every show. And they were like, you guys, we, like, blacked out our studio schedule every Wednesday for the next year. Now it's on Fridays. And they were legitimately, like, mad. So, yeah, everything somehow affects people, but I don't know. We try to do what's best for the most people.
And to be that important in somebody's life where somebody's even down to take off work the next day to come and experience what you're offering fully.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's pretty cool.
It's a big deal because there's more people like you, obviously. Is that what's been the biggest like realization for you guys throughout this entire thing?
I mean, I just didn't realize how deeply it affected everybody. Like, I just didn't know. I thought that, you know, it was me and my certain group of friends growing up, you know, because they were the same people that I'd see at all the shows. And I didn't realize, like, how influential it was to so many people. Like, seeing it, you know, people lined up all across the country and everywhere we go, it's like looking at, like, me and my group of friends, like, growing up. So I just didn't realize it because it was hard to see. And now that we've got, like, the internet, we can talk to people much more and figure out, like, where people want this. And what, you know, it's
totally
a different lifestyle. It's like a different world.
For some reason, I think I always became really good friends with somebody, like, as soon as we bonded over this kind of music. Like, as soon as you found out somebody else liked Taking Back Sunday, you were like, all right, we're best friends now.
You're a good person.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that a lot of other people had that same experience. And the community that exists in this specific genre of music, and I don't know what it was. You know, maybe it was Warped Tour, maybe it was MySpace, maybe
Bamboozle.
It was just like, maybe it was Bamboozle.
R.I.P.
It was just, there was something about this that like tied everybody together. It was, we felt a common bond. And it's still there, even now when we're all like 30 years old.
Do you feel like the audience base is being fed properly? Like, is pop punk music alive today the way it should be?
We just came from doing something with Zoomies in Colorado. And I guess the last couple of years they've had like rap, a lot of rap at these things. And the last year they had Turnstile and they said it was so awesome that they brought state champs and us this year, and it was so wild to see like young kids going crazy for rock and roll in a big, big way. So
it was us and then DaBaby.
Yeah, DaBaby. That's not the baby. That's my baby.
Your own baby took the stage, or
yeah. My child, DaBaby. I did want to tell him that I was his dad. Like, I wanted to be like, it's me. I'm the father.
I think he'd believe you.
Yeah,
he looked you dead in the eye and go, I've been looking for you for a long time.
We came to meet up together in Keystone, Colorado for this one magical moment.
So is State Champs doing a proper job in feeding the audience? Because, I mean, I guess, like, State Champs, the Main, like, there's a few bands today that come to the top of mind that are still making music, I guess, that one would consider pop punk, one would consider emo, but it's not like it was.
Well, dude, I think, you know, Machine Gun Kelly's now making a pop punk album.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally like, no rap this year, I'm putting out a pop punk album. And I think that, you know, with Travis, and I think that really speaks to where we're at now. I think that if he's like, you know, this is important in this moment to do it, like, I think that speaks volumes for like what's happening. To make your next record a pop, like specifically pop punk record. You know?
What does that tell us? Does it tell us that like people obviously are craving it and need it? Or because it's not, I just want to get it to a point where it's on the radio again.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, right? Like, how do you make it mainstream? Like, even Boys Like Girls, like, there's a point where they were just We the Kings. There's so many groups that were able to cross so many different boundaries, from video games to top 40 radio. I mean, like, it was everywhere we looked.
Dude, I think it did. It had its time in the sun, but not for a really long time, right? Like, not for like years and years and years where we see like straight rock just top charts or straight rap just top charts. Like, there was like, what, like 2004, 2006, maybe, where it was like, we heard this on the radio, and it never really had its like time. It was like people that knew, they were like, this is awesome, we're hearing Jimmy Eat World on the radio. And but now it's having more of its time than ever.
Yeah, but it's also now infused into so many different genres, like, you know, the Chainsmokers, if you took the music away and you read the lyrics, you sat down and just read the lyrics,
totally,
the most emo lyrics ever. They also have a song with Blink that's on their new album. You know, it's like, it's just so much a part of like a bunch of different genres. So yeah, it doesn't look exactly like it did in 2005, but I think it's still very much in the music space.
100%.
Yeah.
As a huge source of inspiration.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I hear that in every most Chainsmoker records I listen to. If you were to take away the production and play that like on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
It's an emo record.
Yeah. But that's why I get excited about like non-pop punk and emo artists coming to DJ Emo Night. You know, like when actors show up or like Demi Lovato, who's a pop star, comes and, you know, DJs. It's so cool because I think we've come to see how many different people have been influenced by this music that aren't obvious. You don't think of them off the top of your head when you're like, oh, emo, pop punk, you know?
I wonder if the Chainsmokers would embrace their pop punk roots.
I mean, they've DJed Emo Night.
Oh, so yeah.
Yeah, they love it.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know they were also on the list of people who have DJed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Twice.
Anybody on that list shock you? Like, why?
The Chainsmokers.
Yeah. Yeah. How did that go down?
One time they just showed up one night and like went up with Captain Cuts in the last hour and DJed with them. And then we did Emo Night Day, which was our festival. And they came out and did a full set. And it was amazing. Wow. It was like them, Captain Cuts and Demi Lovato doing a set together. And I was just like, what is this? This is insane.
That's kind of wild.
Yeah.
What are you thinking over there?
I just wonder how like you three came together originally. Like, were you guys just like, who thought of the idea to do this at that bar the first time?
Well, Babs and I, we knew of each other in passing. And then we went to a mutual friend's birthday party and we did Dashboard Confessional karaoke. And we had like the best time and became friends.
Hands down, is a great karaoke song.
Yeah, that's what
we
did.
That's what we did.
Is it? Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. And it was like what TJ said before, where you kind of meet someone who likes that one song and you're like, okay, we're friends now. It's cool.
And then a couple weeks later, we were like, we should do that again. We should just like go to a bar and see if we can pick the music. And Morgan worked in the same office building as us. At this point, Babs and I had started working together. And Morgan worked in the same office and he knew somebody at a bar in Echo Park. And they were like, yeah, you can't have a Thursday night. You can't have a Friday night, but you could have a Tuesday. I don't know if anybody will come, but you could just pick
Yeah, they thought like, Thursday was like their big night. So they're like, nobody will come to this. You can have a Tuesday.
And
we just kept doing it.
How do you get the word out originally? Facebook?
It was Facebook events at the beginning, you know, just like personal Facebook invites, at least for the first event. And then the second month, we were like, okay, I guess we should maybe, you know, have a page where we can like put up photos from the parties and kind of like send the invites, not from our personal accounts. So we made a Facebook page. And it was originally called Taking Back Tuesday.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to call it Taking Back Thursday, but it
sounds
couldn't
better.
Have the day, you know. So.
And then who comes up with Emo Night?
It was always just kind of like slang called Emo Night.
Okay.
I think it was just like Taking Back Tuesday, like colon Emo Night, you know? And then, we were just like, whatever, everybody's just calling it Emo Night. Let's just go with that and change the spelling. And
we did that after like a couple of years, like 2 years. I think we just started calling it Emo Night.
What happens within your universe that like opens your eyes to the opportunity and the potential of like taking this as a national tour? Because that's like a big undertaking. Like, you don't just do that easily.
Yeah, I mean, I think a year into it, we just saw people commenting, like, come to San Francisco, come to Seattle.
It was, like, quicker than that, I feel like.
Come to Brazil.
We didn't, you know, we didn't anticipate it being, like, as it is now. Like, we have, like, I think we have, like, 35 or 40 cities. We have, like, people in different regions all over the country who run the events for us at this point.
They do a great job, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of really good, talented kids running.
It took 2 years of us to, like...
But we were traveling every week for the first 2 or 3 years, like flying to a different city, throwing a party on a Tuesday night and flying home. And it was like us three sort of building these little mini fight clubs around the country. And it was really tiring. You know, we were in the Denver airport yesterday. Morgan was like, oh yeah, I slept up there once when I got stuck here after doing Emo Night in Denver in a snowstorm. I had to sleep up there.
Nothing will f*** your back up like the Denver airport.
But it was cool because we were like, you know what? That was tough. We powered through it and it was worth it. Because like our Denver event, we do it 4 times a year and it's super successful. And that community is really strong and people have gotten engaged there. And
Yeah, my sister met her now husband at Emo Night.
Emo Night Colorado or Emo Night Echoplex?
In LA, yeah.
Wow.
Or in Palm Springs. Palm Springs.
Brings people together.
Yeah.
But it goes back to like music really is a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
Music is a connection point. It's like a universal language. Like it breaks down any sort of barriers and it brings people together. How does the system work now? Like how many regional teams do you guys have from coast to coast?
Like 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's nuts.
Yeah, but we went to those places for the first like two, you know, we were gone.
You built
like,
it.
Like mm-hmm. most of like the first 2 years. It was, you know, we had no idea how to do it. Like we're like, fuck, where do we get helium in this city? Like we had to like do all of this stuff beforehand. And yeah. like we literally like were the artists, were the promoters, were the DJs, were the like production, you know what I mean? Like
we
were just everything.
And at the same time, we were and are still running an entirely other company as well.
I don't want to go into how do you balance both, right? But like giving up everything with $300 in your bank account, not making any money in Seattle, it's kind of wild to see that turn into so much more and you guys be able to keep going. Because there had to be moments where you just didn't want to keep going.
Yeah, all the
Definitely.
Time. All the time.
What kept you going, though? Because a lot of people would be like, yo, my gut's saying stop, so I'm going to stop.
See, I mean, my gut never said stop. What?
No, nothing.
Oh, okay. It was just like, it never said stop. It was just like, this is way, 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 way harder than I ever could have imagined. Or like way more stressful than I could have ever imagined. Because, you know, it's exhausting. You're rarely here. It's hard to have like connection with people because you know you're constantly thinking about like work and what to do next and like what do we do to keep making this cooler and more fun for everybody, and it's, you know, you never have a break from it. So I don't know, it's rough.
There's definitely been times I think where we're feeling super burnt out or like kind of doubting it, and then we'll have one of these events where it's just like so indescribably magical that it kind of boosts you over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like there was one event that we did in San Diego, like pretty early on, where the RCA cable came unplugged from the mixer, and Jordan from Newfound Glory was up there, and like the sound just completely stopped, and then everybody just started singing a Newfound Glory song, and Jordan was like leading the chant, you know, and that to me was like one of those moments where it was like, okay, this is something special. You know, we have to keep doing this.
And it's bigger than you, no offense.
Yeah, it's like hearing these stories from people who go to Emo Night that keep me going. You know, I think maybe last week this girl wrote in a Facebook event that she was going to kill herself, but then her friend asked her to go to Emo Night and someone pulled her up on stage and it literally made her so happy and feel part of a community.
It was
that
me.
She didn't.
I pulled her up on stage.
It was an
Some
Omaha.
Guy did it.
So no. But yeah, I mean, it's stories like that, you know, that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, we're doing something that's changing people's lives. How cool is that? How many people have the ability to do that?
Very, very few.
Yeah, when we started, there was a girl that like held up a sign that said like Emo Night saved my life, you know, and we found out the backstory and same thing, she was gonna kill herself and then she decided to come to Emo Night. So it's things like that that I think we really, you know, you take get a better perspective on since being in the midst of it, and then you take a step back and like look at things like that and you're like, oh shit, maybe we're doing the right thing, or maybe we're changing something for a positive. So I think that's what keeps like probably us three going, or else we would have been asleep.
Makes it worth it.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm just Googling over here. TJ, you getting married?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. We're actually going on my bachelor trip this weekend. These guys are my groomsmen.
I'm going to wear a tux.
Really?
You're going to rock it.
I'm really excited.
Black tux?
Yeah.
Where are you going for the bachelor party?
Actually, the black tux they sponsored.
Yeah. The black. Hashtag
you're gonna have a great logo across the chest of it.
Yeah, I love the blacktux.com. It's my favorite.
They did not pay for this.
It's my favorite tux.com.
We'll invoice you. Where are you going for your bachelor party?
We're going to Park City, Utah.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, that's where I grew up, and none of my friends have ever been there. These guys don't have snow pants or gloves or
I got nothing. I have so nothing.
What this are you going to do?
Well, I was supposed to go shopping on the way over here, but the meeting I had before this lasted way longer than I thought. So I have two options. Either I shop after this or I shop there, you know, or I freeze to death.
Don't go with the latter.
It's way more fun when you have the right gear. You know,
yeah,
like 1,000 times more fun.
Yeah, because then you can survive. Yeah. You can lose limbs if you don't have the right gear.
Yeah, the when we went on tour last year with 303, where we were like actually out for an entire month, I had never felt cold like I felt in like Nebraska in like December
or November.
Like that cold is trying to kill you.
Straight wind, dude.
Like, and that cold is trying to kill you.
Yeah. All flat plains, wind hits you right in the face, nothing stopping it.
No.
It's bitter.
Yeah, so, I mean, this cold, because we just came back from Colorado, and it's like, it is cold, but it's not like, you're dead cold.
Yeah. But, like, maybe Park City, Utah, you can lose a limb. Lose a toe.
Hopefully.
It's real, man.
Hopefully.
You want a story?
Yeah. I've been trying to get rid of one of these for ages, dude.
Okay. Please lose.
Say that.
Please not lose. Totally. Yeah. But also lose a toe in a better way than just having frostbite, poor socks. Yeah. Get it cut off by something. Right? A dog ate it.
Yeah. Dog ate it.
A bird.
Totally.
A bird. That's dope.
That is
dope.
When's
the last time a bird's ever come down and ate an appendage from someone?
I don't know. I've never seen a seagull without a piece of pizza in its mouth.
Your toe's the same thing. That's where you're at.
You ever go down to the boardwalk and they're all just somehow, they're just like, how'd you get that whole slice? Like,
they've stolen it from innocent people on the beach.
I know that they have, and they're thieves.
I've been the victim of a seagull on many occasions.
Have you really?
Yeah, oh yeah. And pooped on.
Lock them up.
That's...
What do you mean the victim of? Like, what happened?
Oh, you know, I don't eat on the beach anymore. There's two things that happened to me.
Oh my God.
One, a seagull stole my food and then on me. And then... Two, there was another time with a sandwich. I got sand in my sandwich. Nobody told me that I got sand in my sandwich. Mm. Ate the sandwich, ate the sand, devastated.
It's the first time that it's actually ever been literal.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think of that, but you're right. I had a sandy sandwich, and it sucked.
Yeah, so no more.
Well, to be honest, like, I haven't gone to the beach since that
then?
Day, yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah. Well,
it scarred you that much?
Oh, my God, yeah. And then I remember the last day I went to the beach, I actually took my shirt off at the beach, which is, I can't remember the last time. This is the last time I took a shirt off at the beach, or at all. I shower every morning with a shirt on. but this was like probably 8 years ago. And I remember some girl in the ocean, and I felt so uncomfortable being in the ocean with my shirt off. And I never get recognized, ever. And some girl goes, in the ocean, over the waves, are you Zach Sang? And I'm like, just take me now. I can't get out. I was down to drown.
Dude, if there was any time anybody would recognize you, it would be at the time where you feel the most vulnerable. Like, that's just the way the world works.
And I wish I was making it up, but my friend Lauren Moody was there with me. And from she used to push me to, like, take my shirt off, go out to the beach. And from that moment, she never invited me back. Because she knew I couldn't handle it. Between the seagull, the sandwich, and the f-ing girl.
Yeah, you had the trifecta of bad beach experience.
Yeah, man. And I'd find beach experiences up until that moment. But
and now you're never going back.
No, don't have an emo night at the beach. Have no emo day beach day.
Dude.
Don't do that.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, I don't want to be outside.
Never going to happen.
It's indoors nice, only.
Nice in here.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Control everything in here.
I love controlling the variables.
Yeah. I mean, that's why inside is great.
Oh, yeah.
That's why outside, bad.
The weather really f***s with things.
Bad.
Are you okay?
I'm great.
You look stressed in your black jacket.
I haven't got to say a word. Is there a artist that you guys...
I like that you always wear like a hoodie or a jacket.
I hide here in the corner by myself.
Up. Yeah.
Mind my own business.
I love
pop it. Pop in at the end.
Yeah.
Is there an artist that you guys would like love to see come to an emo night?
We've had some of our heroes, you know.
Yeah.
We're pretty fortunate. Like for me and Babs too, like the 1 year anniversary of emo night, the first year that we did it, we got Chris Carrabba to come.
Wow.
I just wrote like a super heartfelt email. I was super upfront and authentic just about what he meant to us and to the event and like what his music means to the genre and to our community. And it resonated. And he showed up and played like 5-6 acoustic songs. It was incredible.
And the truth is, like, once an artist gets there and they understand the crowd that is actually there, if they haven't heard of it or experienced it before,
they're going to feel love like they've never really felt before.
Yeah.
Because it's a collection of music fans of that genre who are deeply appreciative for the time that they're taking to perform. And that room is filled with love and acceptance.
Well, dude, I had a meeting this morning with a dude that had known about Emo Night for a long time but had never been to it. And then he came to the one in New York. And the first thing that he said when he sat down with me this morning was like, I get it now. He was like, I get it. I've heard so much about it. I've seen it. Like, we gave him a jacket like a while back. And he was like, dude, I get comments on it all the time. And I'd never been. And he was like, I get it. And it's like going to it is so much different than seeing like pictures of it or watching videos of it. It is truly something that you can feel. Like you can go in and be like, you know, I feel at home.
The energy is tangible. So
I mean, I would love it if Hayley Williams showed up.
Oh,
that'd be
that's
cool.
Like my one I can think of.
She has new music coming.
I'm really excited. Are you going to interview her? Please interview her.
Let's manifest it together.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
2020.
Hayley Williams is going to be sitting right there where you are, TJ.
Absolutely.
I hope so.
I feel like you can make that happen.
You know what? I think I could. Maybe.
You 100%.
I met her once at a Bamboozle 2012 on my birthday.
Whoa.
Mike Posner performed that year and Kesha. Well, not 2012. Actually, it was 2009. Holy. Wow. Yeah, I met her at a Bamboozle once.
Damn.
I just said, I love you. Yeah. And she performed with Paramore that night. And that was it.
She's the best.
She's special.
Yeah, she is really special.
Okay, who's drawing all the pictures of Halsey out there?
Halsey?
She's pretty good at drawing herself.
Yeah, she is.
Like, she's pretty good at like drawing herself as like how she is at that moment. There's one with her like short hair, and then there's... Did you see it? What?
No, where?
It's like directly opposite of this wall. So
okay, I'll check it out after this.
I'll show you.
She's very good at it.
I love Halsey also.
Okay. I wish I could be as good at anything as Halsey is.
Has Halsey done it?
She's come out.
She's been there, yeah.
She more so likes to come and, like, hang out.
She DJ'd with Machine Gun Kelly at Webster Hall.
Yeah. But she more so likes to just chill.
Like Tana Mongeau? Yeah. I don't want to compare the two.
I don't know, because Tana was on one.
You know, she owned it.
She did. She was living. She was living her best life.
Looking amazing.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people hoping My Chemical Romance would come that night.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, that's our greatest curse.
It's really funny. It's like I think it's kind of on par with like Daft Punk rumors at Coachella.
Like they're always going to show up, but they never do.
Everybody always says it. Maybe someday. I don't know.
What role do you think Emo Night played in their resurgence? Do you think there is a role?
I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Do you think they should have done their reunion at Warped Tour?
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Warped Tour it's not like existing anymore. So I think that like the last two they did, where was Atlantic City and then what was the other one?
Mountain View.
Yeah. So they put on like two final ones. So I think like, I don't know if it would make, I mean, maybe.
I mean, even there, everyone thought they would perform.
Yeah, like, that was the
big
thing.
The whole time I was there, everyone's just like, Mike, I'm like, what stage? Like, you guys are insane. Like, it's not happening.
Well, because, like, rumors up until, like, that, like, literally after the Warped Tour.
Yeah. Everybody I'm just happy saying. That they reunited so that,
That
everyone stops speculating now, you know?
Yeah.
That was a wild moment, watching those curtains fall.
Oh, it was incredible.
That was really, really cool.
Were you there?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Right? Like, when they just played...
Where were you standing?
Pretty far back because I got there late.
Okay.
But straight on in the back.
Yeah. We were probably standing right next to you.
Yeah,
we didn't know each other then, but probably.
Yeah.
You're probably standing in front of me, and I was like, this fucking guy.
Dude, I'm not very tall, so probably standing head to head.
Still, dude, me, I can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. Life is a nightmare.
I that's a song lyric. I invited him to come with me to Emo Night. Did not come.
What's up
wrong with
that?
You?
Well, the problem is I don't leave my house after 8 p.m.
Okay.
And fair. Emo Night starts later than that.
Say no more. I get
only
it.
Only half an hour later than that.
Don't enable this.
Say no more.
So you were talking about Emo Night breakfast. I'll be there. Count me in.
Me and you are on the same path, brother.
Yeah.
Back to My Chemical Romance. Can we talk about like what?
No, back to why Dan doesn't leave his house past 8.
Because I like
to get... Also, Dan looks like, you know, when you have to do a green screen for somebody and they have like a green screen like outfit on, you look like if the green screen was black.
It's a good description.
What you look like.
Yeah. But, you know, I just don't like leaving my house. I like getting up early, so going out, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But I will come if you guys have Census Fail perform.
We've had Buddy DJ a bunch of times.
Yeah, we have.
He was actually the first guest DJ that we had.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he reach out to you or did you guys reach out to him?
He was at the first one and then we got connected after that.
Oh, okay. Well, it looks like I'm wrong.
Well, we'll go back. We'll go back to 2015.
Yeah.
You can come out.
You're truthfully in no position to make any sort of demands. You should go because it's an amazing event.
Yeah, you know what? I will demand, but also it's a request.
Well, here's another thing too, is like we've kind of made a decision to never announce who's going to be there because we want people to just come out for the party. You know, we don't want people to come out for a show. The first one that we did at the Echoplex was month three. We had Mark Hoppus and we announced it. And it was awesome because it like expanded the reach of the event, yeah. And like so many kids came out. But a lot of people just came out and didn't know what Emo Night was. We didn't really know what it was, but they came out expecting like a Mark Hoppus or a Blink show. And they like stood there with their arms crossed.
And you know what they got instead is Mark DJing the Frozen soundtrack into Lil Jon. Into Taking Back Sunday.
Proper.
It was amazing. Into Taylor Swift.
Are there any rules at Emo Night?
Yeah, now we like to just ask people what they're going to DJ, like have a playlist ahead of time. Did we ask you for one?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just so we know what's up, you know, because we have seen some
We've been bamboozled before.
Yeah.
But while I was there, you were playing High School Musical, Stick to the Status Quo.
That was during a transition setting up the drum set.
Well, made my night.
Sometimes we do like jokey stuff.
Mm-hmm. We do a lot of stuff to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
Cause like we're like working so hard to like make sure the event runs really, really smooth that like anything from like TJ to playing wind sounds like during a break like will make me laugh and like that's really worth it. Like everybody's just waiting and then there's just wind.
Yeah, but like that stuff plays. Like whether High School Musical was a joke or not, the audience f-ing loved it.
Yeah, but we couldn't have done that in the beginning.
Yeah, because you were still getting to know everybody.
Yeah.
And now people like kind of trust us.
Yeah, exactly. Now we kind of go outside of the norm.
I think my highlight of last year was we did this show in New Orleans with From First to Last. It was like their second reunion show ever. Their first one was at Emo Night in LA. But this past year we did one and Emo Night went on before From First to Last. And then I had to DJ between the changeover, but I wasn't on stage. So I was like back with my iPod and I was playing rain sounds, like mixing in like train, like some airplane noises, like cats purring.
Oh my
God.
Was
that the Rain app?
Yeah, the Rain app.
Uncomfortable ambiance.
You can customize your own rain. Like anybody's ever f-ing wanted to do that.
Yeah, you like mix like, rain on a tent rain with rain on a window. Louder. Oh yeah.
Really gets you going.
It's good.
But I looked over at TJ doing this and I've never seen him so happy. He was just like mixing the cat in the rain.
Yeah, I'm just laughing my ass off like my business partner just putting rain on.
While Skrillex is like setting up.
So like it's like that now you like, you know, it's like it's worth it. That makes it worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's moments like that keep us going. You know?
So when you guys say DJ, you're really just playing off your phone still sometimes?
No, we use CDJs now. But
we're professional now.
Yeah. You're real DJs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So instead of...
It's taken us 5 years to learn the basics.
I mean, it really is very easy.
Yeah, right?
There's not a lot of mixing that goes on.
That's what nobody actually tells you is that like DJs... really just hit play.
And again, I was so nervous leading into it. Well, it's more about the feeling and understanding of what should come next. Mm-hmm. Like, and
there's so many things on CDJs that we don't use.
I think you use the bare minimum.
Yeah,
of like,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think people make their playlists like in their head and what they want, they expect the room to be. And really it is like you have to just read it. And you have to be like, you have to like know the music.
Yeah, we used to make our playlists ahead of time and now we don't. Mm-hmm. We absolutely just wing it. But especially
it ends
like
up
when,
being fun.
Yeah, I mean, when the three of us DJ together, we have done it for so long now that we kind of like know each other's moves and what each person's going to play next and like where we're going to go on the stage and stuff. It's like kind of indescribable. But
what songs would you say are like really get the crowds going the most?
Panic, I Write Sins.
Okay,
we open
sugar,
every night
we're
with
going
Sugar.
Down.
Okay, that makes sense.
Misery Business.
Mr. Brightside. Shake It by Metro Station. Don't Trust Me.
Downfall of Us All by A Day to Remember.
Some of the hits.
Yeah.
Blink, like, you know, What's My Age Again, Rock Show. Those always go off.
Some 41, Fat Lip.
Fat Lip.
By the way, didn't play any of these songs.
Why not?
Well, because you can't, there's a flow. You have an entire evening that you have to curate, mm-hmm. and you can't blow your load too quick, dude.
This man knows it. Knows
well, what yeah, he's a professional DJ.
Yeah, you would just play the first three and then give everybody a finger, walk off stage, go to bed.
Done.
And it's 8:45.
I got my bedtime, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, 45 yeah. minutes past.
The coolest feeling when... you guys allowed me to DJ was when I first started, my love and how I got here was I listened to radio obsessively, but then I started a party DJ company with my best friend. It was called Uber Tunes, and we would DJ all of like the middle school dances, all the graduation parties.
Did you really?
Yeah, all the Catholic schools in northern New Jersey.
That's awesome.
I Fun. Lit that up.
Oh yeah.
And that's what it brought me back to. And it goes back to like you can go in thinking you're going to play 15 songs, but like the truth is you got to go with the room, and it's about understanding the energy and like realizing. And when you, in this case, like when you're up standing on top of the table up there, you can see the power of a song as it like literally sways the masses. Like mm-hmm. you can watch people change when a new song comes over them.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is really.
We DJed
really
a wedding
incredible.
This year.
Oh, yeah.
We DJed one of our employees' weddings, and it was so fun.
It was so fun.
So
we crushed it. It's the same thing. Whether you're DJing at emo night or a wedding or a bar mitzvah or a middle school dance, it's the same thing. It's all about reading the room and reading the crowd and picking the right songs.
And that's the greatest skill I've gotten from... I've DJed so many middle school dances and graduation parties, and like... the Catholic school graduation parties were the biggest ones because it was just a diverse crowd, but you really... You get an understanding for the impact that music has on people when you see it so up close and personal.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Black Eyed Peas yeah. you were playing.
Mr. Dude. Brightside goes off at any event, though. Like, Mr. Brightside will go off at any event.
Well, that's like ever. One of the greatest songs ever.
Do you think the Killers know, like, the impact that that song has?
They have to.
Like, so, but do you think they really know?
It's like our Imagine.
How can you not know?
I don't know, because I think when you create something, you're less aware of the impact than...
Yeah, at first, but that song's been around for so long, and they know what they're doing. They have to know the impact of that song.
Maybe I'll tweet at them and ask.
At the Killers, do you guys know how cool this is?
Do you understand what you've done for music at large?
Wait, are you from New Jersey?
Yeah.
Do you follow New Jersey's Twitter?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, whoever in charge of that is extremely funny.
Dude.
Wait, what?
I was in the airport yesterday just laughing my ass off.
Are you from New Jersey?
No, I'm from New York, but I was like, okay. New Jersey's Twitter is so... funny.
I'm gonna follow them.
It's so good. I
Morgan
was like,
loves New Jersey. He went to New Jersey for Sopranos Con.
I went to Sopranos Con. Yeah.
It we just happened so happened to have emo night at Webster Hall the next day. Yeah. So he was like, I'm going.
I had to go. I can't miss the best show in the entire world's convention.
Why am I just picturing you like in a sea of large Italian New Jersey people?
That's
like,
exactly
just...
what it was. Scared. I was just scared. I was just like walking around
with your pamphlet in a bag with the logo on it.
Yeah. I was like, saw Paul, I was, please, you'll sign this. I just got to get out of here. No, it was like one of the coolest things in the entire world because it was all fan. It, like all the fans made it and they did a really good job of curating, like getting the cast there and getting the, like, they recreated some of the scenes within the convention. It really
That's cool.
For fans to do, like, I was incredibly impressed. And as, like, a person that puts on events, like, it's no small task for a fan to do something like that.
Dude. Where are you from, Babs?
Hungary.
Like, totally just from Hungary? Your family's in Hungary right now?
Yeah. I was born there and everything, yeah.
Speaks it.
Yes.
What do your parents think of emo music? Have they been to an emo night?
Well, my parents are the coolest people ever. And they were in experimental bands growing up, and even when I was a kid, like they would tour around Europe and make really crazy amazing music. I grew up around music, and they think it's the coolest thing. My mom, well, they moved back to Hungary 6 years ago, but my mom came to an emo night like a couple years ago, and she ended up like selling merch for us. She was also in an Uber and was explaining to the driver what she was going to, and he's like ended his shift, pulled over and came in with her. And my mom just walks in with this random guy. She's like, this is my Uber driver. All right. And they ended up like running the merch booth that night.
Again, emo night brings people together.
Yeah, it was really funny, but it was so cute. She was so cute.
Who designs all the merch?
We design a lot of it. We work with different artists. Like, we've done a lot of collabs with different brands. So it's kind of all over the place. But Morgan kind of spearheads all that. Yeah.
I mean, I basically reach out to, like, either I do it or I reach out to artists that I really, really like. A lot of them have designed merch for, like, really, really, really large things. We just, like, they also like emo night and kind of keep it under wraps. So some of the, like, art that we have has been done by, like, some pretty, like, well-known artists for some of the merch stuff. But usually it's just me reaching out being like, hey, big fan. I wouldn't know if you want to do this. Totally okay if you say fuck off, but you want to do this? And usually, like, 99% of the time, everybody's like, this, I would love to. I've been waiting for somebody to ask me.
It evokes passion, man.
It's really, really cool. Like, I mean, that's another thing. That's another way. And, like, I've seen that it has affected everybody. It's like people that I never thought when I'd reach out to, like artists, like people I really, really, really respect. Cause, like, I think being good at one thing is, like, really, really crazy. Like, really good at one thing. I think I don't have that. So I think it's really fucking amazing. So these are people that I've reached out to that I really respect. And they're like, I've always heard about this. I really wanted to work with you. Like, when I hear about that, it just confirms that, like, you know, people all around the board.
Yeah, it's mutual respect because you're doing something right.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to do anything wrong.
We've also been able to do really cool things with our merch, collabs that kind of, you know, give back. So last year we did one with Lights and Anthony Green, and their kids designed the shirts. And we donated all the money to an immigration nonprofit.
Oh, cool.
But they were the cutest shirts, and, like, the kids kind of did videos explaining why they designed them, and it was the cutest thing ever. And it's really fun to do stuff like that too.
Yeah, it seems like the merch is doing well. I see people wearing it quite often now.
Hell yeah,
just, like, out and about.
Love that for us.
Yeah, we've tried to approach the merch the same way as the parties. You know, just, like, make stuff that we would want to wear, mm-hmm. Not just, like, have it be an afterthought. And it's kind of grown into, like, a whole separate business.
Again, nothing we planned. Mm-hmm. You know, and the cool thing about Emo Night is, like, everything about it is really, really organic.
Yeah, like, what have you planned?
Nothing.
I mean,
people always ask us, like, what's the 5-year plan? What's the future of it? And we're like, I have no idea. Babs had the analogy the other day of it being the equivalent of, like, when you graduate and everybody's like, what are you going to do next?
Yeah, like, when you graduate high school and all your parents' friends are like, well, what's next then? You're like, I don't know, I'm 17. Like, I have no idea. But, every year I feel like we're like, ready for it to be over. Not in a bad way, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ended, you know? And every year it just gets bigger and bigger. So, I don't know.
Are you not surprised if it ended because you set no expectations?
No expectations, and also because it's lasted 5 years already, and it's been the most amazing 5 years. So if tomorrow it ended, it'd be the greatest thing to look back on, you know? And everything ends, so it's inevitable, I think.
Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Exactly.
Is it profitable?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I mean, yes, but I know I would assume they're making good money, but I don't know if there's, like, the team has grown a lot. And
yeah,
you asked the real hard-hitting question.
It's able, you know, us to, like, have our lives and, like, pay rent and buy food and, like, hire.
To be able to make a comfortable living doing anything in music, especially something that you're passionate about and that you put your heart and soul into, is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, I think about all the time, like, I went to music school. I went to Berklee College of Music. And I remember, you know, one of the things that the teachers would always say is, like, the greatest feeling is, like, when you're doing your tax forms and you get to write musician, you know, like, that's your primary source of income. And, like, for some reason, we have been able to do that. Like, even though we don't technically play, that's, like, still, like, what's classified on our IRS forms. We write musician. And so I'm always like, hell yeah, we did it. We're making it.
It makes me wonder when the IRS is going to come to us and be like,
you're not musicians.
Real musicians. Like, what?
Well, you're DJing at Coachella, so technically you're musicians.
And so, yeah, technically we're DJing. Like, I guess. It's like one of those things. The IRS is like, you guys... pressing play qualifies you as a DJ. I guess anybody.
They send an IRS agent to just shadow you for the day
at Coachella.
Yeah,
make sure that they're. playing something.
You know, you're talking about 5 years from now. You guys are like pretty low on that Coachella thing. Maybe 5 years from now, you'll be at the top and your name will be big and bold.
Headliners.
Yeah, the headlining Coachella. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, how do you get there?
We're higher up than I thought.
You know? Yeah, we are like, way higher than I thought.
Three or four lines up, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
why?
We thought we'd be like the last.
Yeah, I was ready to put on the glasses and last one.
But how do you get there? How do you grow this? Because you've made it clear, like, you're not playing originals, right? You're playing other people's stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're going into Coachella. We can't just go up there and press play. So a lot of the meetings that we've been having this year so far have just been, like, trying to figure out what we're going to do at Coachella. And we're trying to come up with some sort of, like, stage production performance that sort of encompasses everything that we've done with Emo Night. I know, you know, when you came to the 5 year, we transformed that place into a high school.
Yeah.
So we had a school bus in the parking lot. We had lockers. We had bleachers. We had cheerleaders. You know, we have a mascot now. We actually have like two mascots. We have all this like lore. We've built a whole universe. You know, I think we're trying to do something on that stage that like takes all of that stuff and puts it into one story arc.
Yeah, all while being like entertaining for an audience that doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they'll know the songs.
I mean, like, no, you know, they may not know us, but we want to make sure that it's like entertaining all the way through.
And obviously, like, you know, we've been doing this for 5 years. I don't think it would have lasted as long as it had if we had just kept pressing play on an iPad and like calling it a day. Like, we've tried to get as creative with this as we possibly can. Every single month, we try and do something totally different, whether it's like bringing in a marching band or, you know, a mariachi band to play Blink 182 songs, or hiring an airplane to fly over the line, or
yeah, we got a plane.
Sign spinners.
All like, costs money.
It all costs money, but like it's all
plane
like
is much cheaper than I thought.
It's part of like what makes our events special. I think is just we try to consistently raise the bar for ourselves and for the audience, and they never know what's gonna happen.
And that's like why everybody's like, "What do you guys see in like 5 years?" It's like, well, we didn't see us playing Coachella 5 years ago,
or like 6 months ago,
or you know what I mean. Like, we didn't see us having like a merch line that is going to be in Zoomies like 5 years ago. You know, we just none of that we saw. So it's like, I think we just try and do the next right indicated step, and like keep trying to do the right thing, and work with the like nice and cool people. And I think that, you know, it'll work itself out. Maybe the worst business plan ever.
I don't think
or the
so.
Best.
Or the best.
Could be the best.
You know, you never know. I think in certain scenarios, like case scenarios, like that might be the best route here.
And I think, you know, going back to the profitability of it, like the making money on the events always sort of like takes a backseat to us. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that we don't make money and like live comfortably and have a good life because of what we do. But, you know, there are so many times where we're like, yeah, we want to just buy that billboard for Coachella, like, or we want to like hire somebody to choreograph a whole troop of cheerleaders and get them custom uniforms. And it's just like making those experiences is the first priority. And then, you know, sometimes we walk away with no money. Like,
well,
it's just
a lot of times we lose money.
Totally. But that's the sacrifice, and that's what it means to own what you do every day.
Totally.
You know, every penny that comes in and comes out, you have to account for, and you need to make sure that it's every penny that goes out, that's one less penny that's going to you.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's part of what makes the event successful too, is because we didn't approach this as promoters. You know, we don't have other events going on. We don't have like a 80s night or a rap night or anything like that, because that's not, you know, our passion. And when we approached Emo Night, it was because it was something that we were passionate about. We're passionate about this genre, about this event, and about creating these experiences. And so, yeah, I mean, I think when you approach anything with that sort of authenticity, people are going to be drawn to it.
Who in the pop world needs to come to Emo Night?
Does the 1975 count as pop at this point? Or is it like
Camila Cabello?
Totally up for discussion. Camila would be cool.
Camila, yeah.
Who else?
Her Instagram bio is professional emo person.
Do you believe that as people who know the emo community better than anyone else?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Politician looking to get her on.
If we bring One Direction to Emo Night, would you come?
Oh my God, I would pay $1 million.
Okay. You like any of them or?
Oh no, Harry. Pay, yeah. I would give you every last dollar
he
I have.
Okay. Have you reached out to any of them?
No.
We need to. Huge 1D fan as well.
I love them.
Yeah.
They're incredible. They're so good.
So good.
They're perfect.
So who do you want from One Direction to come to Emo Night?
I could see Louis or Liam going.
Yeah. Louis, I'm not like the biggest One Direction fan.
Oh, don't worry.
I know you love them.
I love One Direction.
Yeah.
I mean, they're phenomenal.
So it's Senses Fail or Harry.
Yeah, that's like my two. It's like Senses Fail and One Direction.
You wouldn't show up for Louis Tomlinson?
I'd go say hi to Louis. But wow. I mean,
I'd go and say hi
if it's like before nine.
Guys, yeah. We all know what that Harry is on a whole different level than everybody.
Yeah.
Like, we can't even argue that.
I don't have time to have this debate with you again.
Now, I know we're way over, but
okay,
TJ, how does it feel to be in the vlog squad world?
You know, I'm actually pretty removed from it. Like, I go to the office every single day and work on Emo Night and Ride or Cry, and I honestly like hang out with those people, like, I don't know, once every 2 months, 3 months.
Those people.
The vlog squad.
I mean,
but
yeah.
Your wedding will be
vlogged for everybody to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They're great. I love them. They're super fun.
Yeah, now you're marrying into it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they, like, is there a hazing ritual that was involved? Is there...
I don't know. Not yet.
They could haze you at any moment.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the other night, David just showed up at my house. Like, I get a text like, hey, TJ, we're going to scare Aaron, so just answer the door, okay? I'm like, okay.
But in that moment, do you have an obligation for the to the bit or to Aaron's safety?
You know, it's...
Aaron's safety is
that's
ever.
A good question.
It's definitely...
the bit.
That's probably the bit.
Aaron's
first.
Safety wow. as ever.
Probably the bit. I know she's not going to get
he's
hurt.
He's never.
I will say that the night he surprised us, he surprised me and Aaron with money for our wedding.
Wow. And so he has to come. You can't not invite him.
Yeah. Well, I was at Emo Night and I get a call. I'm like setting up. It's like 8:25. And Aaron's like, hey, can you come outside for a second? So I get in David's Tesla and he hands me a check. I'm just like, what? He's like, I'm paying for your wedding. Craziest thing ever.
Did he film it?
Yeah, but I wasn't in the video, but he filmed Aaron's first. He surprised her separately, and then he was like, I want to go surprise TJ. So then he brought it to the Echoplex. But then after that, like, I'm working. I'm at Emo Night. It's probably like 11 p.m., and he texts me, and he's like, hey, I need to do one more bit for this, and I need to get into your house at like 3 a.m. with a stripper. Because I'm going to like tie it in as Aaron's bachelorette party for the video. And I was like, well, dude just gave me $50,000. So I can't, literally like have to. So I get home from Emo Night at 2 in the morning and I just had to stay awake till 3:30, 4 o'clock to let him in.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? This is kind of a fair trade. You know,
he paid for
our wedding. So he can kind of do whatever he wants.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Surely.
Do you ever, like, you know there are days where you're just like, I do not feel like talking to anybody?
Story of my life, yeah.
Like, how do you push through that? Like, when you have to go do something, like, let's say, I mean, I know that you're very excited to talk to us, right? But, like, I know that. So, like, let's say you have somebody, like, you're not excited about, you're not in a...
A space to do it?
Yeah, in a space to do it. Like, how do you push through that?
I try to honestly tap out of whatever it is that I'm going through and I leave it at the door. And I realize that, like, interviewing anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, it's bigger than me. It's not about me. It's about them and it's about getting their story out there. And I really tries to rise to the responsibility of somebody who is like the eyes and ears and the mouthpiece, essentially, for somebody who's sitting on the other side of a speaker or a monitor or whatever. So I realize that there is deep value in any sort of conversation with anybody because you don't know where those conversations are going to go or who that person might become even the next day or a month from now. So honestly, it's more about like me trying to park my shit at the door.
Yeah.
And realize that like this is not about me. It's about the person who's sitting in front of me, number one. And then number two, it's about the person who gives a shit enough to watch it and to be interested by
Babs.
It.
Babs, do you ever...
and only Babs.
Do you ever just, like, and then as soon as you dip out of here, do you go back to that same, like, headspace, or usually does that clear you up?
I honestly do forget about it for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'd be lying to say that, like, I forget about it for a while because it does creep back
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You do ride a high, truthfully. Mm-hmm. And I think the high, for me, like,
in terms of like what you do, like whether that's like for you guys, it's getting out there and performing, or it could be the rush of setting something up against the deadlines. Like, you know, there has to be highs within your job and universe like that really keep you going and are the reasons why you keep doing it. Those highs have changed for me over the years, honestly, and they come less frequently now. It's because, you know, when I get more of a rush when I do live radio as opposed to like interviewing somebody in a pre-tape fashion. It's really like I love when there's millions of people listening because it's just added pressure. And you have to be great.
Yeah. I mean, I was wondering just because like, you know, there have been plenty of times where like we have to go on stage and we feel terrible. Like we feel terrible, terrible, terrible. Like we've been like traveling all day or like we ate something fucked up and like, but we have to go out there and like do it, you know, we have to like go do our job. And so I always wonder like other people that like work in entertainment, if they have to like actors or anything, if they're like, I just don't feel good today. Like, how am I going to do this job where like I have to be like front facing? So I'm always like super interested to like know what people in entertainment like have off days and how they get through that.
I wish I had more of a technique, because if I think I had more of a routine around
it. You have a pretty good technique. It's like understanding that it's not for you.
That's it. It's just a big reminder.
Yeah.
How do you deal with bad days, Dan?
I am how I am. The thing with Zach is Zach can fake and he'll sit there and talk to people and put on a happy face. I'll sit here and just
blank stare. You see what you get.
Yeah.
Dan, I'm not here to the one dimensional man.
I'm not going to fake anything. Yeah.
Solely one dimensional.
Yeah.
On that note,
I love Dan.
I know.
Yeah.
You should hang out.
I'm a big fan now.
Do you know he spent $3.71 on his energy bill last month?
How?
By dressing like that inside.
Yeah.
Dressing like this inside and not using lights.
He uses his phone and a cup.
No. Use natural light. When that goes down, I go to bed.
You know what you would be really good at?
I'm not lying.
You would be really good at being Amish.
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania. There's a lot of Amish.
I know. I was just back there. You'd do great at it.
I think I would do pretty good. Dude. A little horse and buggy.
He has good grip. He can churn butter.
I love butter so much.
You look like a butter guy.
Emo night, everybody. Please. Go to a show. You guys are amazing.
Thanks, dudes. Thank you. You are amazing.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.